this truth of a head. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob in your life.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Well, you've heard the name Brian Rohrbaugh, whose son Danny was tragically murdered at Columbine. And Brian is one of the speakers who will be addressing the OSA group, Operation Save America, this coming week. Every night there will be a rally at Redeemer Community Church in West Denver, and Brian will be speaking on Wednesday night. Well, he also recently spoke at a medical ethics conference. And, well, I want to welcome you, Brian Rohrbaugh. Welcome to Bob Enyart Live.
Thank you.
Brian, why is medical ethics important? Why does that matter?
Well, medical ethics is at the heart of the fight to save the unborn children. Mm. And so, you know, having the opportunity to speak at a medical ethics conference was certainly a rare occurrence. But I just got off the phone with a young lady that I've known for years, and she spent – you know, the amount of years and the amount of time and money it takes to become a nurse. Mm-hmm. And her goal in life has been to work with the delivery, you know, labor and delivery in a hospital. Mm-hmm. And after graduating and being qualified to do this, she went to a couple different hospitals. One of them was Presbyterian St. Luke's.
Oh, so a Christian.
A Christian based
name. At least a hospital started by a Christian denomination.
Right.
Presbyterian St. Luke's.
And she's pro-life, so she wanted to work in labor and delivery. Mm-hmm. And
which is an honorable
profession. Certainly is.
Wonderful.
And when she went to apply, she found out that in order to work in that field, she would have to assist in abortions.
Oh, no. That is just devastating.
And so, of course, she wouldn't take that job.
Wow. So she went for years to become a registered nurse.
Right.
And, in fact, I think you said she went to Regis College. And she's now – she wants to work delivering babies, and she – they turned her down unless she'll assist to kill an unborn child.
That's exactly right. Oh. And so she went to another hospital and decided, you know, right up front just to ask the question to find out, you know, is this the same standard? Mm-hmm. And that hospital was St. Joseph. And once again, that is a standard.
St. Joseph's Hospital. Yeah. So she is required to do – to help with an abortion to work there.
Right, to work in labor and delivery, which – you know, as you mentioned, is an honorable and a very good place to be.
Yeah.
And you're caring for the precious life. And, you know, one of the, you know, most amazing things any human can experience is being involved in that.
Mm,
and they want to put the blood of abortion on her hands. And it's my belief that they're doing this because the more blood they can pass around, the less judgment there will be. Mm. And the less people in the medical community will resist this because, hey, if you're required to do this to work in medicine, then, of course, it's much harder to make a living.
Right.
Unless you get involved.
Yeah, misery loves company. And when people deep down, when they know they're guilty for doing something, they want to get other people to do it too. And it seems – it feels to them like it's – justifying their decision to kill these unborn children. I thought these people are pro-choice. If you were pro-choice on abortion, you wouldn't say to a young woman, you can't work unless you're willing to perform abortions.
Yeah, well, that's a really good point. And the words pro-choice, of course, are meant to sound respectable and to be honorable. Mm-hmm. But they're anything but. Mm. You know, it's a lie. They don't want you to have the choice.
This is one reason why Operation Save America is, you know, it's a pro-life, an extraordinary group of pro-life activists who not only go to abortion clinics, but will go to the abortionist homes. This week, starting Saturday, when they come to Denver, there's going to be a few hundred of the most battle-hardened pro-life warriors in the country. And we'll be going to abortionist homes for a couple reasons. One is We don't want there to be child killing with tranquility. We don't want people to live in peace as they're making money killing unborn children. But secondly, we want to deter medical students from deciding to become abortionists, because the medical schools have tried to make abortion a requirement. And so many students, even though they're liberal and pro-choice, so many students are resisting and saying, we don't want to perform an abortion to get our degree from a medical school.
Yeah, and of course, what we're seeing in these hospitals is they're also trying the same tactic to, you know, cause people to perform an abortion or to assist in one against their will and to completely undermine their beliefs.
Mm. Now, could I ask you, Brian, about this medical ethics conference? You spoke just recently, and it really is interesting that you'll be speaking Wednesday night to the OSA rally at Redeemer Temple at 32nd and Lowell at 6:30 Wednesday night. But just recently, you spoke at a medical ethics conference. What's that like? Is that something that's open to the public? Who was there?
My wife and I were invited probably a year before this conference and asked if we would speak. And this was a doctors-only, medical-only conference. So it was not open to the public. The people who were there would be nurses or doctors, or in some cases there were ethics professors from some of the largest medical schools, people who are every day involved in medical ethics.
And I would think it'd be somewhat unusual to have a strong pro-life couple address a session at a medical ethics conference. That's got to be somewhat rare.
Yeah, I don't know. This is the second time we've spoke at one of these medical ethics conferences. Mm-hmm. And I thought we were received really well. I definitely spoke on the topic of right and wrong and abortion, and even to the point of speaking about the Supreme Court and their history of making wicked decisions and other people using it as the law of the land and pretending that that somehow justifies doing the wrong thing.
Wow.
Because the Supreme Court has said, you know, in our view, this is a good thing for the country. It's the law of the land.
Right. So just because the Supreme Court gives a ruling doesn't mean that it's at all acceptable to abide by that ruling and to go ahead and own a black man as property or to kill an unborn child. If they do something wrong, it's still wrong.
Yes, that's exactly right. And the group that I was speaking to, this was a conference on neonatology. So we are dealing with, you know, the babies at the very smallest stages, premature babies, you know, all of the issues that surround that.
And of course, abortion. And of course, abortion is right in the heart of that issue. These tiny little babies, they're the kinds of babies that Warren Hearn in Boulder advertises that he kills in the Yellow Pages. 26 weeks, he'll kill the baby.
Well, and much smaller than that.
Smaller.
In many cases.
As far as the preemies.
Right. As far as the premature babies and the people that they're caring for.
Right.
And, you know, it's ironic, and it must be hard for these people, the doctors, the nurses. They're working with as much technology as is available and hoping for more to save the lives of these children that are born premature or with other problems. And they fight this, and all too often these babies die. There just isn't enough technology, and they spend, you know, all of their energy and invest emotionally with the babies, with the family, and many times they die, and yet in most cases down the hall or on a different floor, someone's spending $500 to kill a baby.
To kill that.
And you have parents that are spending a life savings, you know, that may lose everything they have or certainly are going to tax their insurance in many cases to save this child who probably will have problems from being born premature. And those range from extreme to very minor. Mm-hmm. But in most cases, there's some side effect. And so you have these two things going on side by side, and one is good and one is really, really wicked.
So in the one room at a hospital, everyone is working so hard to save this baby's life, and perhaps right across the hall they are killing a baby that is similar, the same baby.
That is perfectly healthy.
Yeah, right.
That is not going to be born premature.
The same age baby, I should have said. There's the baby and they're killing it.
Right.
Yeah, and so obviously our country has taken a terrible turn. And I'd like to say that there are very few people in the world who know the whole story. I mean, Columbine was voted one of the top 10 news stories of the century by editors in this country. And even with that known, Danny was murdered by Harrison Klebold. He was a teenager. Very few people in the world know why you and your wife would be invited to speak at a medical ethics conference. And Wednesday night, people will be able to go and find out. And the story is just extraordinary.
Right. I'm going to be talking on, several of these topics. And I think it's safe to say that there's only a handful of people that know, all of the issues I'm going to be speaking of. And, of course, you would be right to ask yourself, what in the world does Rohrbaugh know about medical ethics and why would he be there?
Right.
But there's a good reason. And I can assure you I'll answer that question and I think it will make sense. And
yeah, there's a good reason that you and your wife were invited to speak at that conference in addition to Columbine, actually totally separate, but the two are so tightly related. And I just can't wait, Brian. And I have been encouraging people. Flip Benham is the national director of OSA, and he's one of the most powerful speakers I've ever heard. And I can't wait to be at the rallies and hear him speak. But I've really been promoing the Wednesday night when you're going to be there, because people in Denver, that's where this radio show airs mostly, in Colorado, they know of you through the media, but they just have to come out. So if there are people listening to this, if you're Christian, if you're pro-life, if you're not a Christian, you need to plan to be at Redeemer Temple Wednesday night at 6:30. Now, the rallies begin Saturday night. Saturday night, Sunday, there's a solemn assembly, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday through Friday night. So there's 7 nights in a row, rallies at 6:30 at 32nd and Lowell, and we invite you all to come on out, but especially that Wednesday night. You just have to be there.
Well, and I think people, if they can, are going to benefit for coming every night. I know that you're scheduled to speak Monday, and I hope people will come out for that. And I think this is all really important. Mm. And you mentioned the people, that are pro-life, Christian or not. And, of course, that's true. But if you're not sure if you're really pro-life, if you're one of those people that thinks, and this is one of the things I've heard, mm-hmm. people think that, well, a baby killed by abortion immediately goes to heaven and their life, they're spared all of the injustice of this world, the pain and suffering. There are people,
some people have argued
in the Christian
that,
community, right? Or at least claim they're in the Christian community, that think that way. Mm-hmm. I'm going to address that topic. Mm-hmm. And, if you're not sure what you believe, if you don't really know, mm-hmm. I'd love to have you come
on out
and speak with you afterwards if you've got questions about what I'm saying or what I believe and why I believe it.
And Brian, I've known you for 6 years, and I know that you will take the time to talk through important things with whoever's interested. So people should come out. What an opportunity it is. Now, not everybody knows what OSA is, even though we've been talking about it for a bit on this show. But OSA it started out as Operation Rescue National, and Operation Rescue took the killing of an unborn child for what it really is, murder, and they begin going to abortion clinics, and hundreds, if not thousands, of babies have been saved by Operation Rescue. And now the name is OSA, Operation Save America, and Flip Benham has been the national leader for years. He's the guy who led Norma McCorvey to the Lord, and she's Jane Roe of Roe v. Wade.
Right.
How could you be more at the heart of the battle of legalized abortion in America than to take the woman who's the symbol of that and bring her to the Lord so that she would ask Jesus Christ to forgive her of her sins, to become a Christian, and then to speak out publicly that abortion is wrong and that she's pro-life.
Right. And you mentioned earlier that these are the, you know, these protesters that are coming, you know.
They're the warriors.
Right. They're the warriors. But something that I think people should know, are these people peaceful?
Oh, yeah. Operation Save America is utterly committed, and rightly so, to peaceful protest. And the media will like to smear us, as anybody who's doing right typically will get smeared by a liberal media. But the media will smear us and imply that OSA is violent. OSA condemns violence in the battle against unborn children.
Right. And one of the things that I've noted is that this battle to save these babies, to make abortion illegal in this country, very much parallels the civil rights movement that took place in the 60s and before. Mm-hmm. And there are so many common things. For example, those people involved in the protest often were falsely arrested. You know, the police turned their heads as these people were abused or beat up. Mm-hmm. They suffered great injustices. And I'm sure there were many times that they felt they could not win. And certainly there were plenty of people telling them, you're never going to win this, quit doing it. We see that in the pro-life movement. You know, there's so many parallels. But what happened there was, even when it looked like nothing good could come from it, almost overnight – the tide shifted.
Then blacks were allowed at the, you know, on the bus, at the front of the bus, to drink at the water fountain, at the counter, at the lunchroom. Right. And, you know, the horror of that past discrimination was undone. And even though so many in the country really preferred the status quo. And typically
And I might add to that, keep in mind that the people in the country were relying on the Supreme Court. You know, here's the court saying this is justified, and also people, maybe they weren't involved at all, but they didn't really use their minds because they were following the government position.
Mm-hmm. Brian, you, I'm sure, recall the Freedom Riders who went down south, 300 civil rights activists who were thrown in jail, and many of them stayed for the summer or so in Alabama. Well, one of those Freedom Riders is a pro-life activist in Denver named Terry Sullivan. He's been a friend of mine for years. I think you've met Terry Sullivan. And Terry has written a lot comparing the civil rights movement to the pro-life movement. And he's told me that about 10,000 arrests were made in the decade of the 60s fighting for civil rights.
Right.
And he compared that to just a few years of the pro-life movement, where Christians were kneeling and praying at abortion clinics and being arrested. And he said there were 50,000 arrests in a few years compared to 10,000 over 10 years.
Right.
And so that the rescue movement, from that perspective, dwarfed the civil rights movement, because it's terrible to discriminate against someone. It's even worse to murder them,
right?
And especially as an innocent child. And he said the difference was that the media was against the pro-life movement. So it was shown to be an extremist movement when really it was families. It was mothers and fathers and children out trying to save their neighbor's child.
Right. And of course, what happens is you get someone who decides they're going to take a gun or a bomb and attack an abortion clinic. And the media immediately labels them as a Christian protester and paints with a very broad brush that this is what the movement's about.
And in fact, they call us terrorists. They use the word terrorist to describe pro-lifers, and they won't use the word terrorist to describe the men who bombed the trains in London.
Right.
They save that word for pro-lifers. That's pretty much the only acceptable use, which is so despicable, but that shows where the hatred is. And there's a tendency to be nice to Islamic extremist terrorists, but utterly condemning of Christians who are trying to save unborn children. In fact, the way many in the country think, we're the ones who are the real enemy.
Many people think that way. And, you know, I'm one of the people that believes when the churches join hands and they stand together and say, we believe in the sanctity of life and these children are precious, mm-hmm. we can end abortion. Now, so often with churches, you know, there's a debate that goes on over doctrine, and in many cases there's a reason to divide. Mm. But in the issue of the pro-life movement, we can all stand together and we just need to agree on that. Even people that don't believe there's a God, I've always thought that they should be the strongest pro-life people.
Yeah, right.
Because if they believe there's nothing after, then they should see the value of saving those lives.
Right.
And now I think one of the reasons that it's hard to have Christians join this movement and people to get involved is, one, there's a media perception that we're all very radical and not sensible and that it's so dangerous to do this. But the other is, so many of us are guilty of being involved in an abortion, causing an abortion, recommending an abortion, accepting abortion as legitimate, that we have to struggle with our own demons of where we've stood in the past, and we have to be willing to admit we're guilty and we were wrong, and we have to be willing to try to save other people from the harm we've caused.
Yeah, in 30 years with 50 million abortions, even though a number of young women have had more than one abortion, when you add a grandma, a grandpa here and there, that's about 100 million parents and grandparents who are actively involved in killing a child or a grandchild. 100 million. And many of those are from the body of Christ, from good churches. And so it is difficult to get Christians, to get pastors to speak out.
Yeah, there's many people that think that they're going to offend.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the cost of silence is the murder of innocent children.
Mm-hmm.
And it's accepted as a form of birth control and called a right and a woman's choice. You know, one of the things I'm going to speak on is a mother's choice. And, you know, it's a justifiable choice.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to speak in detail about that.
All right. Brian, when you do speak, we've been sort of talking around the issue of your actual topic. And so perhaps you want to save this until Wednesday night. You could let me know. You had the opportunity with your family to speak to Bill and Hillary Clinton.
That's right.
Is that something you'd like to tell us now about, or should we wait till Wednesday night?
I actually probably won't talk about that Wednesday night because of the other areas.
Okay. So perhaps we could tell the audience what happened after Columbine when you had that opportunity.
Well, a month after my son was murdered, Bill and Hillary Clinton came to Colorado, and they had a private meeting with the families. And, you know, there were varied reactions. One family didn't even attend because they didn't want to have anything to do with Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
But I saw this as an opportunity for a more important issue, you know, and I told Bill Clinton that he was responsible for the murder of innocent children that is far more violent than what happened to the kids at Columbine High School.
Oh, my.
And, you know, told him that when you vetoed the ban on partial birth abortion, you became entirely responsible for this happening to these children.
For the children who are killed by partial birth abortion, which is so brutal, so violent, and he has a hand in it because he worked to keep it legal.
Right. He stopped the law that would have made it illegal. And it is such a gruesome, disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's something that Mengele, the Nazi doctor, would have been so proud of this country for doing.
Right.
He would have, you know, just applauded the medical profession going down this path. But I spoke to him about that, and he started to tell us that he did that because of the, you know, to save a mother's life.
There was no exception for the life of a mother.
And Lisa stopped him. And she's a nurse.
She's a registered nurse.
Right. And she just stopped him and said, there is never a time, if a woman's life is in danger, that you would stop the delivery to kill the baby. Mm-hmm. You would do a C-section immediately. Mm-hmm. That's the protocol. There would never be a time that you would stop a delivery right. and murder a baby to save a mother's life.
So I've always wondered, when they say that, when Hillary Clinton says that there's no exception for the life of the mother, I've always wondered, it should be so simple and for the people in the media to report that deception, because if a mother is dying, let's say there's a terrible problem with the pregnancy. She's in preeclampsia, perhaps. She's nearly dead. And the doctors go in, and the goal should be, if possible, to save the mother and save the baby. But you remove the baby to save the mother, you would never stop long enough to kill the baby while you're trying to save the mother. You'd remove the baby.
That's right. That's right. When you hear this story, it's a lie. And so then what you'll hear some of the liberals say is you have to consider the mental health as well. Mm. Well, you should consider the mental health, because we now know so many women are burdened for their entire life because they believe the abortion lie.
Right.
And every day they think about the child
right.
or the children that have been killed as they were a willing participant mm-hmm. because of what the medical profession and the schools presented to them mm-hmm. as a justifiable mm-hmm. and necessary action. Mm.
And so Hillary Clinton, she has heard this with her own ears from a registered nurse when she came out after the Columbine murders. She heard this with her own ears.
That's right.
Okay, so she has no excuse if ever she uses that argument.
Right. The argument that they use is a lie. Mm-hmm. They have a bloodlust. Mm. And, mm-hmm. you know, this – the desire to see the most innocent, the most vulnerable, in fact, the people that I believe Jesus spoke highest about, mm. to see them slaughtered.
The little ones.
Right. The little ones.
Innocent.
The children.
If you hurt these little ones, it 'd be better for you to put a millstone around your neck.
Right. Be dropped into
the sea. Yeah. And those are the ones who are the target of the beautiful people in America, the liberals, the university professors, the media, so many of our politicians, even the conservative pro-life politicians who really are proud of themselves for nominating and appointing pro-abortion
right.
officials.
And I've got to tell you, at the medical conference, mm-hmm. I had quite a reaction from people afterwards. And they found that they'd heard a different side than they had ever considered.
Wow. And so, Brian, Wednesday night at the OSA event, you'll tell that story?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you so much for joining me here at Bob and Yurt Live. What an honor to have Brian Rohrbaugh in studio. And if you'd like to hear more about Brian's story, you could go to kgov.com, our website, and click on Archives. And there's some extraordinary stories where Brian talks through what happened at Columbine and the devastation to our country because we've undermined morality in America. Now, I also want to encourage you to come on out August 27th. We're having a seminar on predestination and free will. I'm presenting it at the Brown Palace, downtown Denver. It's going to be a lot of fun. And then Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada, simply the best Christian school I've ever seen. You could call them at 303-431-5653, then come on out Sunday to Denver Bible Church and come to OSA.